We are now joined by Sylvia Hassenkopf, who has a couple of books about Greene County history, all kinds of Greene County history projects to talk about. Welcome to WGXC today, Sylvia.
Thank you, Tom.
How's what are you? You've got several things in front of you. There's a new book out. What do you tell us about all the projects you have going here?
Well, there's two things. First of all, I am a historian and genealogist by trade, so I'm out there all over the Hudson Valley doing various research for clients, and that includes genealogy and house histories and research for people that are writing books and things like that.
So if somebody wants to know about their own personal thing, they can contact you and you'll find out the history of their your land or your family or something like that?
Exactly. And you can find me at northriverresearch.com online and also on Facebook.
And so get back to the projects. Yes.
Well, I have a couple of books that I'm working on right now. One for myself, which is going to be volume two of the Tracing Your Roots in Greene County series. These are the articles that I have been writing for the Greenville Pioneer since May of 2010. The first volume is the first 50 articles, which were from May the 20th, 2010, when the newspaper actually started, and ran till May the 6th, 2011. I published that a couple years ago. But I'm going to be doing volume two, which is going to be the remainder of 2011. Now, the book's going to be the same in size. What's happened is when I started writing the articles, initially I had a column of about 750 words. And as time has gone on, the columns are close to 3,000 words, if not more, in each issue. So the articles are much larger, so there's less of them, but a little more meaty in terms of the history and the thought process on how to solve some of these genealogical or historical questions.
Is it kind of never ending? Are you having a hard? Do you have a hard time coming up with 3,500 words of material, or is there a never ending trove of Greene County history?
Well, I think the latter. There is a never ending trove, and I think the thing that surprises me the most about Greene County is there's so many interesting stories and people that have lived here that I unearth, especially because I'm doing a lot of local, research. And I say to myself, wow, you know, I found that out, but maybe nobody will ever know about that. So I want to write a story about it. So I have actually probably 10 files that are for future articles where I'm collecting materials. And then when I feel I have enough, then I actually write the story. But, it can be anything from somebody giving me a call and saying, hey, I have a tombstone on my property I don't think you've ever seen before. And I go over and I find out, yeah, there's a Revolutionary War soldier tombstone on somebody's property, along the, in South Durham. And the story of, that person, Reuben Bostwick, which I just wrote a two-part article about. And who would have thought it would have ended up a two-part article, but it was the journey of finding about who that man is, where he came from, his revolutionary history, how did he come to Cairo, was he really buried there? And that was really the story, was he really buried there? And you have to read the article to find out.
What is the question, I guess, most often asked to you about history here? Is it about Legge's Diamond or about the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, or the railroads, I guess? There's all sorts of topics.
I can't say that there's any theme. Everybody's journey is personal. So folks who approach me often don't live in this area. They're all over the United States, and they're trying to figure out who they are. And I think that really taps into the popularity of the new shows on TV, Who Do You Think You Are, and a couple others that are on there right now, where people are starting to ask themselves, who am I? And what is my past? And, was there anything interesting that happened? Why did we end up in California when, we most likely came from somewhere else? And their journey has taken them to this location. But New York is known, and it's actually got a really interesting reputation as being the black hole of genealogy, because they really didn't have, early records, not like New England, where you can go there and find birth records going all the way back. Our vital record system didn't start until 1880 for deaths and 1882 for marriages and births. So prior to that time, there is no formal record system that says who belongs to who. So it becomes a little bit more challenging. You have to use all kinds of different sources and resources to be able to come up with the answers to some of these folks' questions.
So are you spend a lot of your time in local libraries or local town halls or where else?
All over the place. The State Library in Albany, the Hall of Records in Albany. Today I'm going down to Poughkeepsie, and so I'll be down at the Surrogate Records and the Deed Offices down there, the Adrian's Library. I do a lot of field searching as well. I'm out in cemeteries. When I do genealogies or house histories for people where I'm actually including a genealogy in the house history, I often go to the churches where the people were married or were baptized and things like that. And so I was down in Fishkill, taking photos of the Fishkill Reformed Church, which was established in 1728. I was in Hopewell at the Reformed Church doing the same. And so, that's what I like to do. I like to make it personal. I like to put the flesh on the bones of the individuals that are your ancestors. That's not something that you can readily do unless you go out there and do that field work.
Do you know the history of radio in Greene County? What was the first radio station in the county?
I don't know the first radio station, but I do have to say, when I've done some research on others, I have come across where in the newspapers where it will say so and so is just got the first radio in our village, and that was like a big to do, and it was like in the 20s. And that was exciting. I mean, it's like getting the first car in that hamlet.
Was there an early radio club? There were a lot of radio clubs back in the 20s, kids doing the crystal radio kits and shortwave and things.
I haven't found much on that, to be honest with you, but that sounds like a really good article that's starting to percolate in my mind.
You could start a new folder.
Yes, exactly. But I'm also working on another project, and this I'm doing, as part of the Caro Historical Society. And it's really tapping into the program we've had recently about the hometown heroes, and we've had 211 banners that have been flying along our streets in Caro and Acre and Purling and South Caro and in Round Top, and we've decided that there's stories behind each one of those portraits, so we're writing the book on the hometown heroes, and we've started the process of developing the biographies for each and every person that's on a banner. We've also started the process of doing the grant applications because we would really, really like to publish the first edition as a commemorative edition in color. And, of course, this is for the Caro Historical Society. We do a lot of really interesting projects in town. And so there's a group of us that are working on that particular project, and I hope to have that out in May.
So there's 211 people from Caro that went off to fight in a war or died in a war. Is that what how the banners are created?
Yeah, the banners, you have to have lived in Caro. You didn't have to sign up in Caro to be on the banner, but you have to have been a resident of Caro at some point in your life. And so, yes, we have people that have lived in Caro all their lives. We've had people that have lived here only a few years, and many of them their sunset years. There's a gentleman that was 90 something when he passed away, had lived here only about 4 years, but he's on a banner. He was at Pearl Harbor, so he had a great story in and of himself. And not everybody that's on a banner actually fought in a conflict. To us, it was important that you actually were willing to serve your country. It wasn't the issue you were willing to die, per se, in a conflict or that fought in a conflict. It was that you were willing to sign up and serve. So we have quite a few peacetime members that are, or veterans that are on the banners, and their stories will also be told. And I've had people approach me and say, well, if nothing really happened when I was a veteran, and I don't know if I belong up there, and then I'll be chatting with them and I'll say, well, tell me, what did you do? And they said, well, I was on the ship that picked up the first astronauts that came down, and those space things, modules. I remember those days as a child, they had the big...
They landed in the Pacific.
Yeah, landed in the Pacific or the Atlantic or wherever they were, and they were on the ship that picked them up. Well, that was pretty interesting. And people all have stories to tell, and that's the one thing as a genealogist I found, is that everybody has a story, and our lives all are interesting in one way or another. It's just not necessarily recognizing that interest because we're living it, but our descendants will find it interesting.
And that sounds like a project that you could use help with. Do you want people to call in to get in touch with you if they have information about the different hometown heroes?
Well, actually, we have files for each of the hometown heroes, and we are reaching out to the families. to get the stories. The families are also looking at the biographies once they're written, so we get their blessing. Because we want it written in such a way that we are telling a little bit about their personal history, but we're really focusing on their military history, because I think it is, you know, a book about the veterans. There's no need to call in. We'll be reaching out to you folks and talking to you.
And I guess it sort of tells the history of Caro at the same time, too, in the background, I guess.
I think that's what's also really interesting. Our earliest banner is from someone from the French and Indian War. Well, of course, we weren't America, the United States of America, at that time. We were still a British colony. But our earliest settler in this area was James Barker. He was called the Patroon. He owned over 5,000 acres of land, and he had been an officer in the French and Indian War. But he lived here in Caro, up by the Woodstock Dam area. And so he is our earliest banner designee. Then we have individuals from virtually every war, from the Revolutionary War to War of 1812, Civil War, Spanish-American War, World War I, II, Vietnam War, Korea, and all the other conflicts that are more current, including up to the Afghanistan conflict that we're still involved in now.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Sylvia Hassenkopf, who has two projects. The book that's out now is Tracing Your Roots in Greene County, Volume 2. And where can people get that book?
Volume 2 will be coming out at the beginning of December. Ah, okay. The one I have here with me is Volume 1. So this one I'm just finalizing right now. I do self-publish these books, and I will be having them out in early. I will be having the Tracing Your Roots Volume 2 out in early December.
In time for the holidays.
Time for the holidays. Great stocking stuffer. Folks can contact me at my phone number, 518-821-3852, or certainly through my website, sylvia@northriverresearch.com, or via the Facebook page. And I actually run three of them. I run a Tracing Your Roots in Greene County web Facebook page, North River Research Facebook page, and the Caro Historical Society Facebook page. So it's actually quite easy to get in touch with me.
And not to mention your column in the Greenville Pioneer, which came out yesterday. Is it Thursday or next Thursday?
Next Friday. Last Friday, okay. Right. And I think I've written my 154th article. So the next one I'm writing will be the 155th. And the current one is going to be a three-part series on Samuel Haight, who was an early settler in Catskill. He was there by 1792, was really one of the founding men of Catskill. And he moved eventually to Athens and built the Haight-Gantley House. When you come down 382 and you're just coming into the village of Athens, and you look to the left and you see that gorgeous yellow federal house on the hill, that's the Haight-Gantley House. And he built that house back in 1814, and there's a really cool story behind the whole house.
All right. And another thing, you're also going to be at the Caro Library tomorrow?
Yes, I'm with the Caro Historical Society, as I mentioned, and we're going to be hosting a free screening of The Rails to the Catskills, the new documentary by Toby Carey. This documentary is about 95 minutes long, so it's a great show about local railroads, and it's going to cover everything from the very earliest one, which is the Canajoharie and Catskill Railroad, which came from Catskill through Caro all the way up through East Durham and a little bit past that. Very short-lived because there was an accident, a bridge collapsed and the train fell into the creek and someone died and the investors ran for the hills because it was such a new thing, the railroad system in the 1840s. And then it also covers the Catskill Mountain Railroad, the Otis, the Wallkill, the Ulster and Delaware. It talks a little bit about the canal system, which is the precursor to our railroad system, and how that kind of went by the wayside once the railroad system took over transporting people and goods. It also talks about the current conflict that's going on up in Ulster County, the Rails for Trails issue. So that is the final chapter of that particular DVD. And Toby Carey will be coming down. So we're going to have the filmmaker there. He'll be talking about, you know, what he was doing, how he did it, where he found his information, answer some questions. And very nice guy, makes excellent documentaries.
He's going to be calling in a few minutes, too. We'll talk
right.
to him shortly.
And we will have those DVDs, actually, for sale at the Caro Library. It's at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Saturday, November the 8th.
And wasn't there just a ceremony in Cairo about the historic train mm-hmm. depot there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Cairo line of the Catskill Mountain Railroad came through about 1884. They realized there was an opportunity for them to make money by, you know, having the line come to Cairo and bring goods in and bring shale and, you know, fruit products and so on back to the point. And then they realized
and this was from Catskill to here, and
yep.
then it was going on to
that we were the trail line at that point. There was ideas of moving it on, but it never came to any fruition. And eventually they realized, wow, we could bring people too, and so they added the passenger car, and it just served all the boarding houses and I think helped build the incredible industry we had in, you know, down here, Durham, Greenville, Cairo, and so on. And actually even the ones up the mountain, because, you know, the Wyndham people would come down and pick people up in Cairo as well, because it was pretty close. And that ran until, you know, the early 1920s. And then with the advent of the car, that industry also started to see some effects, and the line became defunct. So we laid down 30 feet of narrow gauge rail at the actual site of the old Cairo Depot.
And where is the site?
The site is on Railroad Ave, around the corner of Fierro Drive, right where it intersects, right where the library is. You go to the Cairo Library down Railroad Ave, go around the corner, and it's right there. And there's a historical marker showing the site of the Cairo Depot. The rail lines are there, and our long-term plans are to actually rebuild the depot.
And so you're working on grants to get that, or what's?
Our first job is to build our headquarters. We're in the midst of doing that. We've just completed phase one of our headquarters construction, which is our design phase, the survey, the site prep. That's been completed. We should have our permit in early December. And so the second phase, which is our construction phase, we're madly underway doing grant writing and also fundraising. We have a new program that's out. It's called the Cairo Family Tree, where people can buy a leaf or actually a wooden animal to recognize, you know, their family or a loved one. I did one for my mother, who just recently passed away. And she's from Canada, but she used to come down here since the early 60s, loved vacationing down here. And I've actually purchased one of the wooden cardinals to commemorate my mom, and she'll be on the Cairo Family Tree, which will be inside the headquarters. It's going to be quite a large tree. It will take up, you know, the good part of one wall with leaves and various animals commemorating family members.
And so people should go to the Cairo Historical Society website if they want to donate to help the...
Oh, yes, most definitely. Two things that we're hoping to secure is, of course, folks that are interested in being part of the Cairo Family Tree, and we're going to have applications online at the Cairo Historical Society website, at the Cairo Town Hall, at the Cairo Library, but also we're looking for professionals, people that are interested in helping us build the house, you know, folks that have experience in masonry, folks that electrician, a plumber. We really see this as a community project. We're hoping to build this with folks' help, you know, rather than just going out to bid. We would really like this to be something that the community feels is theirs. And that being the case, we're reaching out to local professionals for their help.
All right. Well, you want to give out some contact information one last time?
Certainly. If you're interested in the books that I write or the Cairo Historical Society projects that I'm involved in, you can contact me, Sylvia Hosenkopf, at 518-821-3852, and also at sylvia@northriverresearch.com, and lastly, at any of the Facebook pages, Tracing Your Roots in Greene County, North River Research, or Cairo Historical Society.
Or in person at 2 p.m. Saturday at the Cairo Library for the screening of Rails to the Catskills.
Excellent. Yes, definitely.
All right. Sylvia Hosenkopf, thank you for stopping by the WGXC Morning Show this morning.